Good morning. This is Loretta Bertelot. I'm at the Tulsa Historical Society, and I have a couple of ladies with me today that I met when we were all playing bridge one day. And I found out that they had some relationship with Matt Dillon when he made the movie Tex, which was made in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So let's start with Alta. Alta, first of all, why don't you start with telling about why Disney may have heard about your horse ranch?
We had a 20 acres on a corner, and people drive. We always kept it mowed up. Mainly, it was due to our daughters did the mowing.
And where was the ranch?
It was in Bixby, Oklahoma. What corner?
161st and Harvard.
Yes, 161st and Harvard. And we always kept it mowed up so neatly. Everything was in tip-top shape at all times, and always looked good. So that caught people's eye.
Okay, and you had some championship horses, didn't you? Or at least one.
We had a winner of the
1979 NCHA cutting horse maturity.
NCHA cutting horse maturity.
Okay. I think I neglected telling that Alta is here with her daughter Jane Porter, so they will be joining together in this in this story.
Anyway, his name was Docs Diabolo, and so that was we had people come from England and let's see what other countries.
Australia,
to see the farm and view the horse and. Talked to us,
okay.
Which was unreal.
So what? That was pretty amazing. So what was your first contact with Matt Dillon or Tex or S.E. Hinton?
The first contact was when S.E. Hinton came out with her horse, Toyota, because she wanted a place to board him. And she also wanted him to be in the movie. And we had a nice barn, and everything was the way it should be, and she decided that it would be a good place to leave her horse. It would be in good hands.
Okay. Did she tell you she had a movie in the works?
She said that he would be in the movie and would be ridden by... the star of Tex, Matt Dillon.
Okay. Was Matt an Oklahoma boy?
No, he was from the Bronx, and he had that way of talking like you would if you came from the Bronx. And so since he would be at our house, my husband thought that I should fix him dinner, and I thought so too, so I fixed up a big dinner like you would feed a harvest hand, and he didn't hardly eat anything. So I thought, well, what is wrong? And Glenn said, he isn't used to that kind of food. Tomorrow I'll take him down to the pizza place, which was a big hit with him, and he loved the food there, and so that's what he had. And when the people, Walt Disney people, found out that Glenn had taken him in his car down to the restaurant, they almost fainted. That was a no-no.
Why?
He could have had a wreck.
Oh, they were really being protective.
Well, and see, he wouldn't be able to be in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted to keep their star safe. We did not know that. And so then one day, when Glenn found out that he would be on the horse jumping a log, why, he thought, well, I'll just take him out here and put him on Toyota, which was the name of the horse, and I'll set up a little jump and put Matt on him and teach him how to jump. That was also a no-no. He might have fallen off and got killed.
Had Matt ever ridden a horse before?
No, he hadn't. And he liked the way he and Glenn got along really well. And he liked it out there because there wasn't any people hanging around and he could do whatever he wanted to. And I think even Glenn might have given him a beer to drink. So
was he of age then?
No. But it was hot.
Okay.
And he needed something cold to drink. And so, anyway, I'm sure it was just one beer.
So they bonded pretty well.
They did.
Your husband, Glenn, and
yes,
Ted,
they did.
Matt.
And he actually came out to see Glenn when he was doing the
Outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. So he kept up, touch with you later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway.
So where did... the film crew, they did not stay at your ranch, you said?
No, they didn't.
They stayed at a motel?
I think it was a motel, probably. I wasn't sure.
Okay.
But they came out. They had a big semi-trailer that fed they, and cooks, and they would set this big table up and feed the whole crew when it came lunchtime, and Glenn and I got to eat with them. And I might add at this time, when the Walt Disney crew, the filming was done, they left. There was not one cigarette butt on the ground. Nothing was out of shape. It was just left immaculately the way they found it, which was very unusual and I thought very commendable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Alta, you were telling me that your daughter, not Jane, but your other daughter, got to be in the movie.
Yes, Tracy was hired as a stand-in to for Matt Dillon. They're about the same size, and they would, when he couldn't be on for the little shots and whatnot, they dressed her up like Matt, and whenever she would walk out from the back, from the trailer, getting dressed up, as Matt, she'd have on the same clothes, the same hat and everything. You couldn't tell her from Matt Dillon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and from a far away, you know, you thought it was Matt. And they had one scene, one afternoon, there was this lovely sunset, and they said, oh, we must get that on film. And they had Tracy saddle up the horse and get up on the ridge and ride with the sunset.
Ah.
And that was supposed to be Matt also.
Okay.
Riding out, you know, on the, so it's interesting.
Yes. Now you said you had one night, late night of filming?
Yes, they had to go out to the, what's the name of that place?
Bell's.
Bell's Amusement Park. And they took the horse in the trailer, and Tracy was dressed up in her Matt Dillon outfit with the boots and everything, and they waited and waited and waited around, and came time for their scene, and it was to lead Toyota by the tent, which was, I guess, in the book, and all you could see was Tracy's boots, the horse's hooves, and up so far, about up to the knee, and that was it, that she just walked by. And they were out there all night for that one shot. And so, anyway, it was, Glenn couldn't believe that all the time he had to use, and all the work he had to go to carry Tracy around to the different spots, which probably wasn't, he didn't know about, that was going to involve he and the horse and Tracy and the trailer. And so, but he was nice about it until they asked him at probably another movie that came by if he knew of anybody that had a trailer. And Glenn said, no, I don't. He wasn't going to get involved in any more movies.
So he had to stay on site most or all of the time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Glenn did?
Oh, yes. Whenever...
Toyota.
Yeah, the horse, you know, you had to take care of the horse. He was very good. Glenn was very good with that. And Toyota got the best of care in our barn and got exercised, and she had no complaints.
Did you keep Toyota after the movie?
No.
You didn't board him anymore?
No, she had her own place.
Oh, okay.
But this way, he was there when, and Glenn was on call to get him wherever he was supposed to be, you know. And so Glenn and Tracy were ready to go.
They were on site. Did you observe much when
yes,
they were
I did.
Filming?
Yes, I did. And so
that had to be exciting.
It was. It was interesting to see how they did things. And you would think they could make it. They were on in our pasture driving with our white iron fences, pipe fences, and it was, you would have thought they were out on the highway. You know, when it showed up, it looked like it was just unreal. Now, it wasn't that way, but that's what it looked, how they made it look like.
So all that film editing does something to it, to change it.
It does.
Your daughter Tracy, at the time, she was a student at OSU?
She was in high school.
And she was interested?
Isn't that right?
No,
was she
would be at OSU,
oh, okay.
too.
Okay. It was the summertime.
Yes.
She was at OSU.
Home and I was
yes.
off doing something
she
else.
Was interested in movies at that time?
She was taking a credit course about filmmaking and movies.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why my husband said, yes, he thought she would enjoy it, you know, if she was home and could kind of see how it was done. And she did. When she got to, she enjoyed riding the horse. You know,
uh-huh.
and taking, she helped with the farm. She helped take care of everything.
Okay.
And so that's the way it was.
So you have three daughters?
Yes, I do.
Any sons?
None.
So Glenn got to train all these girls with the horses, huh?
And he doesn't know how lucky he was to, he would have loved to have had a son, but how lucky he was to have daughters. They probably more loving and would do what he wanted, you know, with the horses.
Uh-huh.
And since his passion was horses, why, he all kept them well, mounted. He kept them well mounted in good horses.
Good.
Because we all went to, we took them to rodeos where they rode barrels and,
quarter horse shows.
Yeah, quarter horse shows, yes. And they were always entered and showed off the horse to a very good advantage.
Wow. Did you and Glenn grow up in a ranching community? I mean, were you, what was that a familiar lifestyle for you?
I grew up on a farm,
uh-huh.
and I always loved horses.
Okay.
Did not have one of my own.
Uh-huh.
Glenn always loved horses, and he would enter rodeos, and that's how I met him, that's where I saw him. It was Skinny McKinney coming out of shoot number two, you know. And so I thought, ooh, he's good looking. And so
he is. I saw his pictures.
So I had a job at the Redmond drugstore as a soda jerk while I was going to school. Glenn, for some unknown reason, came in to have a Coke. Then he kept coming in to have Cokes and whatnot. And so then one night he said, may I take you home after work? So that's what started
and you
that.
You rode the horses in the parade, remember? You carried the flags?
Oh, yes. After we were married, then they always had the Corn Festival parade in Erie, Kansas. And so they asked Glenn and I, he had access to two Palomino horses because the man he works for had horses. And had one horse, and another man had another Palomino. And he said, okay, we can ride Palominos. And so we both led the parade on the and carried the American flag on the Palomino horses.
Oh, so, that had to be a beautiful sight.
It was nice.
The film was shot on your ranch and at Bixby High School, I believe. Those the two settings?
Yes, but Glenn had a part in the film. It was a small speaking part, and it was, I think he was saying, get back to work. That ended up on the cutting room floor.
So. Oh, and he worked so hard at it,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, no, he didn't. But anyway, that was our part in the film.
Oh, okay.
Except for taking care of the horse and making sure that the horse was available at all times for the film.
Okay. Was this shot in the summertime when there was no school?
Yes.
Okay.
In the summertime.
And how did you keep... Or did you have watchers around the farm as you were, or the ranch as you were shooting?
People that would come out, mm-hmm. No. And I had told my daughters, do not go to school and tell about that we're having a movie out here and it would be Matt Dillon. I did not want all that, which I thought I've seen herds of people come out. Like, I don't mean to use the word herd, but that's how I describe horses
that would fit,
and
yes.
Cattle. And so anyway, sorry about that.
Okay.
But anyway, and so we didn't have onlookers.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even have the people that are good friends a mile down the road come down and watch.
Yeah.
So it was just, I thought it was better for the film and they wouldn't be bothered.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Had you heard of S.E. Hinton or Matt Dillon before you were contacted about this movie?
No, I hadn't.
Okay, was this...
Oh, well, wait a minute. Yes, she wrote this. She wrote two books, children's books. I think I had heard about that, and I think my daughters had read the books. Yes.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. Yes, they were great children's books. So
young adult.
Yeah, young adult. Yes,
what, the Outsiders
and Tex.
And Tex.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Had she written Rumblefish then?
I don't remember.
I didn't check the date on that.
No. I think Tex was her first book. Mm-hmm. It was her first book.
Oh, it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was her first movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the year was 1982,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Then who else was in the movie with Matt Dillon? Can you remember some of these names?
No.
You might help, Jane.
Okay, there was Emilio Estevez, Meg Tilly, Ben Johnson. He was never out at the ranch, but he was in many of the shots when they filmed other places. And I can't remember the producer and director's names.
And I've got Jim Metzler's name.
Yeah,
now.
Jim
He's
Metzler.
The younger brother.
That's right,
there was
the
Tim...
And did we get Bill McKinney?
Oh, yeah, Bill McKinney was in it, too.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So this was kind of a landmark for Disney Studios as well. This was the first time they were venturing out of children's movies into young adult drama, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yes.
PG.
Oh, it was the first
PG
rating
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And, I think it said anyway, it showed that Disney could do this and do it well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the storyline that I saw was that the mother has passed away from Matt Dillon and his brother, who was played by Jim Metzler. And then the father leaves them, and they're on their own with a farm. And he has a horse, mm-hmm. which I guess they tease him about, his horse Smokey.
Yeah.
So... Jane, anything else you can think of about the movie?
I think that interesting how great everybody got along and how busy it was to film a movie, to have those many people, to compress it down to a little over an hour and a half movie, and the days and days and hours that they would film and take and retake and set up from this direction and that direction and do so many different things that it really made you appreciate when you watch the movie what all went into it. And you would see that, boy, they spent 3 days, and it was just like 5 minutes maybe in the movie for a scene. You know, yeah. It was, they really were attention to detail, and they were very conscious of, we need to do it at this time of the day. And so on a retake, they'd have to wait till the next day at that time of the day so it all looked the same. And they were very professional, and all of the actors seemed to get along really great and seemed to have a good time when they were out at our house and just waiting between takes.
A lot of waiting goes on, doesn't it?
A lot of waiting. You hurry up and wait. But they know what they're looking for. That director's really looking for certain things, and they seem to have captured it. I understand Tex is one of those movies that's really difficult to find on a VHS or CD or something. It's kind of a collector's item now, and kind of a set of standard and something that people would like to have more, but you never see it coming on DirecTV or things like that. Uh-huh. They might ought to think about that to re-release some of those things.
Maybe we can get the Circle Cinema to have a text.
That would be fun. That would be great fun.
Well, that movie made a star of Matt Dillon.
It did.
So it was a landmark for him. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering how many times they had to shoot Tracy jumping over that log.
I don't think it took hardly any time.
It was a fast one. She knew what she was doing.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have a picture of Matt learning to
jump, stunt.
Yes. But they didn't let him do it for the movie.
No, unbeknownst to them. Glenn was teaching him how to jump, thinking that he would be doing it, but no, that didn't happen.
It was funny because Matt would be out at the farm, at the ranch, and Dad would say, well, if you're going to ride a horse, you got to learn how to clean a stall. So he had him cleaning the stalls and hanging out down in the barn and just really spent some time with him, letting him be a young man and learning a lot of things he'd never been exposed to, and he really seemed to enjoy it. Just really liked the camaraderie and the things that he had him doing down there in the barn.
So did you hear from Matt after the film was over?
He came out one evening to see Glenn when he was doing The Outsiders. And so we just came out to say hi to Glenn again.
Oh, nice.
So that was nice.
It was
nice.
To
see him again. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it sounds like Glenn had a lot to do with Matt maturing into a young man, which was really kind of what some of what was going on in the movie.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you say, oh, really?
Well, you know, I don't think I've seen the movie.
Well, my next question was, when was the last time you saw that movie?
I never have seen it, I don't think.
I've seen it, but it was after it was released, but I don't have a copy of it or anything now. But
I don't either. I had a copy of the book, so, uh-huh. But anyway.
Well, I bet Tracy has a copy of it.
She might.
She says, that's my bag.
Yeah.
Tracy is the only one of the three daughters I have that has a horse now.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
She has had a horse all of her life.
Mm-hmm. And does she still live in the area?
No, she lives in Nebraska.
Okay.
On acreage where she can have her horse. It's a beautiful setting in Nebraska.
Wow. So, Jane, you don't have one in your backyard?
No, no. I can't afford the space to keep a horse.
Okay. Tell me just a little bit about Bigsby. So you felt like, at that time, you felt like you were part of the Bigsby community? On your ranch? I mean, is that where you went to the store? And?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Yes. Yes, we, the children, or the girls, went to school there, and they were, Kelly was salutatorian. She would have been valedictorian if she hadn't messed up with her when she had the class on driving a car. She got a B. Uh-huh. So, and now she's an excellent driver. Drives in Dallas very well.
Well, you wouldn't want to be an A driver in Dallas anyway. Would fit in.
So, and I can't say that I knew many people in Bigsby. I worked. And I kept things up at the ranch, and that was a full-time job for me.
Okay. Now, you moved here from Kansas. Did I catch that?
Yes, southeast Kansas.
So you were raised in Kansas.
Yes, was my husband.
And what brought you to the Tulsa area?
Glenn had a heating and air conditioning business in Erie, Kansas. And one of his salesmen said, "Why are you in Erie, Kansas when you could be in Tulsa, Oklahoma? And doing the same thing because you're such a professional at what you do." Mm-hmm. And so when Glenn thought about moving down there, I thought, yes. I don't see the girls going to college here in southeast Kansas. I think we were living in Tulsa, they have colleges there, and they would be able to go to college, which was a thing that I really wanted them to have to do. So, yes, we moved to Tulsa. Guess what?
What?
Not a college in Tulsa that they were interested in. It was OSU in Stillwater, Oklahoma. All three of them went out there and graduated.
Go Pokes.
Yeah, go Pokes. That's right. And I was happy for them to be there.
Yes. Plus, for a long time, we really didn't have affordable colleges in Tulsa, which has changed.
I know. We might have been able to afford TU. I'm not sure, but probably not.
If they lived at home.
Yeah, and Jane had a scholarship to do certain things that she, I think it was your dorm you got.
Yeah, I was a resident hall assistant, so I had free room and board over in Stillwater, and it was a great experience. And then when I was a senior, Tracy came over as a freshman, and people couldn't believe that I wanted my little sister to be my roommate in the dorm. And I said, well, you can get mad at her and you get over it. So it was a perfect situation to have her as my roommate. And we got first dibs on one of the bigger rooms on the floor. So it made it good for both of us.
Tell what a resident hall assistant was. I'm not sure they still have those.
Well, I always had freshmen on my floor. You would have a whole floor in Wilhelm that was just girls. And we had the eighth floor. And you were there to help them make sure that they were getting to class and doing what they needed to do. And we had athletics that we had teams for. We played softball, had intramural sports that we participated in. And you kind of acted like a big sister for the girls on the floor and made sure that there were no, they weren't breaking rules of the dorm and the university. And we just had a lot of fun. And having freshmen, it was always high energy. And it was great fun to be there. And we had a lot of great memories to being in Stillwater.
Did they do room checks and hours when you were there?
Yes. Yes. You had to be there at certain times. And you couldn't be having boys on the floor after 11 o'clock or something during the week. And so there were lots of rules that... it was my responsibility to enforce. And they're a lot laxer over there now, I think. It's different times.
Yeah. When I was there, you had to be in your room at 8:15.
Yeah.
The door locked.
Yeah. Well, we were a little, it was a little later. We were, but it was great. It was wonderful to have the North Tower and the South Tower, and those buildings aren't even there now. They've torn them completely down, and so your memories of those times are no longer in the physical form over there, but I just love still visiting Stillwater and being part of the brightest orange in the United States, so I like that.
Okay.
Jane,
what?
Breeze Orange.
I was the Alumni Association president in Houston, Texas, when I lived in Houston working for Conoco for about 5 years. And we have one of the largest OSU alumni populations in the United States in Houston, and was instrumental in getting our college sports, especially our football games, on a local radio station in the Houston area so that all of our Okies could listen to OSU football in Houston. So it was great fun.
I'm hearing that orange power come out.
That's right.
she has it.
My family does too. Okay, Jane, let's go back to before OSU. You went to school in Bixby.
I graduated from Jinx High School.
Okay.
And we moved to Bixby while I was away at OSU, going to OSU. So
okay.
I didn't live that much in the Bixby area, and then went to work for Conoco and turned into some of the best oil field trash you'd ever met. I lived in Cheyenne and Salt Lake City and Billings and all kinds of different places around for Conoco, and finally retired from them when I was living in Denver and responsible for all of the trucks in the western part of the United States that hauled gasoline to their Conoco gas stations or crude oil to their refineries in Billings, Denver, and one that we shut down out in Santa Maria, California. So it was a great experience and wonderful times working for a really great organization.
Conoco probably recruits pretty strongly at OSU.
Yes, they do. And mm-hmm. I was responsible for their college recruiting for one of my jobs with Conoco. And OSU, OU were prime places, and I was instrumental in taking alumni back to interview people and help find the best on campus by using alumni as recruiters rather than just anybody going to the campus, and it was real successful for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you graduated from Jinx High School.
Yes, in 1973.
Were you east or west of the Arkansas River?
We were east of the river.
Okay. Uh-huh. So what your mailing address was probably
Tulsa. Yes.
Okay. My remembrance of that time period is that the rich kids lived east of the river and the little town kids lived west of the river, which is drastically changing now.
Uh-huh.
And that's just my memory, that when someone said they were from Jinx, I always thought they were from the east side.
Yeah. Yeah,
for some reason, and I don't know why that was.
I don't either. But it was when I was graduating. We only had 136 in my graduating
136?
class. So it was a lot smaller school system than it is today, for sure.
Oh yeah.
But it was.
And tell them what you were.
I was the salutatorian because I got a B in typing. So you just can't get that straight A worked out in our family, but. And I was the homecoming queen for the football group, and that was a great memory.
Oh, yeah.
And my little sister Kelly was in my one of my attendants in that when we had that ceremony. We had great, great memories of being in high school and then graduating and going away to Stillwater for college, so stayed local.
But you always had to cross that river bridge to get to school.
Yes.
And football games.
Yes.
And basketball games.
I remember one time when I hadn't gotten home by my curfew time, and as I was driving home, I met my father on that bridge. He was coming into town to find out where I was and why I wasn't home yet. And that was a long drive home, knowing that when you got home, you were going to get a talking to about how you tell time.
So So, since he's not here listening to us right now, where were you hanging out after the game?
I was at my boyfriend's house. It was his mom and dad, and was very upcoming, but I just, time got past me, and we didn't get home like I was supposed to.
Did Jinx have a favorite hangout for high schoolers then in
the
70s?
It seemed like, you know, you would cruise Main Street. Like, now with all the one-way streets, I'm not sure how they do that. They probably make a loop. It's so different than when I was there. But you would cruise up and down Main Street, and there was a hamburger place on the right before you went over the bridge that was a big hangout. And then on the other end of town, you would whip through a grocery store area down there, and that's, you would just mainly cruise Main Street. It was, but it wasn't near as big as it is now. And
tell them about this, how I had to drive you to school in the snowstorm.
There were lots of times when
Of hills.
Yeah, it was kind of hilly on 101st Street, going over the big hills to get into Jinx. It was very treacherous many times because of the snow and ice. When the bus wouldn't come, when the bus couldn't make it out there, and you'd take us in the snow.
So the bus didn't run, but you still had school.
Yeah, still had school on some of those days. We had 40 acres at that time, and so we were up early and riding horses and getting them exercise before it would get too hot, and go to school and come home. So Dad had a plan all along that if we had horses, it would keep us out of trouble. He felt like that we'd be busy grooming them and taking care of them and showing them, and it worked. All of us got through high school and college
He said, I just want them to get through high school, and if they get to college, they're on their own.
We all did really well and had a lot of fun showing horses and growing up during the 60s and 70s and experiencing a kind of small town at that time. It wasn't near the big housing additions out there and everything in South Tulsa like there are today.
Uh-huh.
So
now tell me about the show horses. I don't know much about showing horses.
We had American Quarter horses, and I had a buckskin gelding, and my sister Tracy had a buckskin mare, and we would show at trail classes and Western Pleasure and reining and lots of different events, and oftentimes we would end up tying. I would be in an older age group and then Tracy'd be in the next age group. So a lot of times we would tie for all around show person because we would win all of our classes in each of our age groups because we had such good horses. We used to go up to Collinsville to a Little Riders to run barrels and to run poles and timed events, and people used to get real upset when we would pull in because Diablo, our horse that we ran then, I would run and win, and then we'd come off, we'd change saddles and put Tracy up on him. She'd run in her age group and win.
So Diablo was running both age groups?
Yeah, he would run both age groups, and it was great fun. The first time they used to make you come in and start your event inside the arena. Well, one day Dad had him just hold the gate open, and we took a running start from outside of the arena because they had a timer. When they first started using a laser timer rather than a person with a flag, he said, open those gates and you girls start out here, and we'd be going full steam when we hit the timer, run our pattern, and then come out. So many of the kids we were running, I guess, couldn't control their horse well enough to start from clear out of the arena running in. And so we kind of started something there, I think, and people were like, oh, that's not fair, that's not fair. And Dad would say, I don't see in the rule book where you have to start from. So it was great fun.
And then everybody started doing that.
Well, that does make sense. You can go a lot faster.
Yeah.
And we had just an automatic horse, and was all of us could ride him. Kelly, my youngest sister, couldn't quite ride Diablo. She had a white horse now called Little Joe that she'd ride. And then Tracy would do what they called a pickup race, where Kelly would stand down on a barrel and she'd come running in on Diablo, and you'd have to turn that barrel. And while you turned the barrel, you had to grab the person standing on it and run them back to the top. And Kelly would get scooped up by your arm. She didn't even know what got her, and she was back to the finish line.
You were holding her.
Yeah, we were holding her with our arms.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've never seen that event.
It was great fun.
Her hair was blowing when Tracy had her. The hair, Kelly's hair was long and blonde, and it was flying across Tracy's face, and Tracy couldn't see where she was going, but the horse was well-trained and knew what he was doing.
You just
was that Diablo?
Yeah, just hold
some
on.
Horse.
Yeah, he was a good horse. Yes. He was fun.
He
was the namesake of our Dox Diablo that won the 1979 Cutting Horse Maturity. So he was our old standard, not registered horse that we ran all these timed events on, and so he got to be the namesake of our quarter horse that won all these national cutting horse events. So.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you only compete in Oklahoma, or did you go out of state?
We mainly were in Oklahoma, mostly. There was something going on every weekend around the state. I don't remember it. Well, when we did cutting horse events, there were lots of those in Texas and Kansas and lots of different places. But for our childhood, when we were growing up, it was mainly events around Oklahoma. Dad said he wore out a truck hauling us girls around the state to all these events.
Yeah, so there were shows, I guess, as well as rodeos?
Yeah, every weekend.
Horse shows, yes.
So we'd run timed events on Thursday night and Friday night, and then we'd be at quarter horse shows on Saturday and Sunday. So we were busy, busy girls all through the season. They would start in about April and go through September most of the time. So you were showing horses and end up with the Tulsa State Fair. We would show at the Tulsa State Fair and always loved being out there, but it always seemed to be so cold when the fair came around. You'd be out there all dressed up in these beautiful outfits to show your horse, and you'd like to be freezing to death. Now we've got the beautiful facilities out at the Tulsa Fairgrounds.
Inside.
Yeah, inside, climate controlled, and beautiful facilities that weren't there back in the 60s and 70s. So,
did you show them in an open arena?
They were kind of it had a roof over some of the time, but it was mainly no sides on them. It was cold out there.
Did you, you mentioned your beautiful outfits. Did you buy those? Did you make those? Because that's something I was thinking about.
They were both bought and made.
Yeah,
and they all, we had money tied up.
And everything had to be color coordinated. You know, we had matching hats and
color hats, same as the thing.
The outfits. So we were dressed for success in that arena. It was great fun.
And that was fine with my husband.
Yeah.
He footed the bill because it was keeping those girls out of trouble.
And it sounds like it was.
It was great fun.
And so anyway, they had this contest. And they do not have it anymore, but it was for Miss KVOO.
Okay.
Tracy tried out for Miss KVOO, and guess what? She won.
Oh.
So that was, you had to go to all the parades around. And I don't know, I guess they were all in Oklahoma, but you would get her ready to go for the parade in the afternoon. That would be in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the rest of the afternoon to wait around so she could come in they had the grand entry.
Yes.
Tracy was head of the grand entry to come in and wave and ride her mare, her horse, or whatever she was riding, which one she was riding, and as Miss KVOO. So.
What an honor.
Yeah.
It was.
She had great fun.
Do you remember what year that was?
That would have been 68, maybe. It would have been
she was still in high school.
Yeah. So,
wasn't she?
Yeah. It would have maybe been 70, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe 73, because I had graduated, so she may have, it might have been in the middle 70s.
And she did that for 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
2 years.
Oh, for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in the rodeo contest, Did you sleep with your horse, or did you take it in every day?
We would take them, Dad would trailer them in. Most of the time, we wouldn't stay with them unless we went to the Pawhuska Cavalcade. And then we had our trailer, big gooseneck trailer, parked, and we would camp under an awning and sleep on by the trailer, and the horses would be tied up to the trailer over at the Pawhuska Cavalcade when our Southeast Tulsa Roundup Club would go over and enter events over there.
But otherwise, you just took the trailer them in for that day.
Right, and then would be home in the evening. Sometimes there were some pretty long days as you were going back and forth. Get up early so you could be there, and it was funny. If we were traveling any distance, Dad was like, okay, girls, has everybody gone to the bathroom? We're not stopping unless we have to get gas, you know. So, you know, because he said if I didn't do that, one would have to stop here and one would have to stop here. So we all were on the same schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we traveled all around the great state.
Okay, let's go back to when you moved from Kansas to Tulsa.
Well, we had a, it was such a difference that of stores when we moved to Tulsa, and one of them was Gulf Mart. It was huge, about the same size as the big Walmarts now. And we lived close to there, and that's where I had just had a new baby, and it was nice to go over there and do my grocery shopping and clothes. You could buy anything in there that you needed. And the so I would walk off the extra weight that I had accumulated from being pregnant with my youngest daughter. And also, when went over there, it saw so many things to buy grocery-wise that I hadn't been able to buy before, like orange juice.
Orange juice?
Yes. I don't know why.
They don't have orange juice in Kansas?
At that time, they didn't
have. The little grocery stores did not carry it.
Okay.
You know, how they do now.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they probably carried it anywhere.
Well, it probably didn't keep very long.
Uh-huh. No. Well, they had refrigeration. They did have refrigeration.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that was, Jane can probably tell you more about things that were.
Well, it was so exciting to see Tulsa grow up, but we moved from 21st and Sheridan down to 51st and Sheridan, where the Farm Shopping Center is now, was a real farm. It was the big red barn and had milk cows, and we had a house in Sungate right behind there. And it was several years before they turned that into a physical shopping center. It was just a farm at that time. And attended Jonas Salk grade school, had gone to Bird Junior High, and just loved that whole area. We would lived at the street, and at the end of the street was the Sungate Pool. And during the summer, it was always great fun to be able to go down and swim at the community pool and just be tan and growing up. But Mom had a strict rule that we couldn't come in the house with wet hair, and because she's afraid we'd catch cold and things like that, so we'd always have to get our hair dry. We always had long hair back then, all of us, get our hair dry before we could get in the house. And Kelly loved it down there, our youngest sister, and she absolutely thought that was great to have a pool. And we were all like little fish. We took our swimming lessons and grew up down there. But that area is, the house is still there, and it's still a nice neighborhood, and they still have that pool at that end of the street where we used to do. But we moved to the Jinx School District when I was in the ninth grade, and then I graduated high school from Jinx High School. So it was a lot of time spent down in the Jinx area, and just loved it down there and watched it grow up, because it was sure small when we first started going to school there, but it has grown to such a huge district now. We were state champions the year that I was a senior. We had to play Watonga, though. It was a whole different who you played back then, because we weren't near as big a school.
You weren't 6A then.
No, we sure weren't. It was great fun, though, growing up and being in the Tulsa area and seeing it grow. And with Dad's business, he was a heating and air conditioning contractor. It was perfect because they were building all these new homes, and that's what he did, put heating and air conditioning in new construction, and it was just a booming business and a booming time to grow up here.
I'm going to go back just because I kind of lost track there. The farm shopping center, You said that whole acreage, that square mile, used to be a farm.
Well, it was that whole corner there.
Oh, okay.
The corner had
an airport.
Airport. It was an airport.
Across north of there.
Yeah, north
Brown
of there.
Airport.
Right,
yes.
Brown Airport.
Uh-huh.
But that whole corner where the farm shopping center was a working farm, because Sungate was going in right behind there, but they still had the barn and cows and were back in 65 when we were down there. So it was quite a while before the farm shopping center. But that's how they came up with the name, because it was physically a farm on that corner.
I didn't know
that. Yeah.
So, do you remember if that was a dairy or a...
Yeah, it was a dairy.
There
were dairy cows there, and I don't know that it stayed a working farm that long, because people were buying up property. They probably
sold it.
Yeah, and were able to.
Money.
Yeah.
Was the Brown Airport still open when you moved in there? I don't think it was.
I don't think so, but Dad had his business over there in one of the hangars when we first moved down here. They had rented out some of those hangars for spaces for his operations for their heating and air conditioning business, and then they moved. The Rheem warehouse was put in over off of 46th Street off of between Memorial and Sheridan, and they sublet space in the Rheem warehouse where the businesses all went in there.
Okay, so that and Rheem was who your dad ended up working
with. Yeah, that's who we
Who he bought his equipment from.
Oh. Heating and his air conditioners and furnaces and stuff.
Yeah, they bought it.
Okay.
And we would win. We had great trips. We sold enough that they would give free trips.
Rheem's gave free trips for your sales of air conditioners?
Yes.
Where did you go?
Well, we went to, we just went one time. Went to Mexico.
Dad would go fishing in Canada from trips that he won.
And then Glenn said, I'm not going on any more of those foreign trips, any of those foreign countries, because he had served in World War II. He had served overseas and had in three different, what do you call those things? Anyway, he's in all those countries over there during the war. And he said, I was there, and I'm not going back, and I'm in the United States, and this is where I want to stay and live. And so...
What branch of the service was he in?
He was a third under Patton, and he was...
The Army.
Third Army under Patton, and he was a in the people who... furnished the shoes and what do you call that?
Supply.
It really saved his life when he was young in Erie, Kansas. He worked at the hardware store, fixing harness and working
and
with
shoes.
Leather and shoes and things. So when he got drafted or joined the Army, they put him
They said, what was your work? And he said, I was a shoe repairman. They said, well, of course, going to need that shoe repair, boot repair. Mm-hmm. So that's where they put him.
And when they landed in Normandy, he was in, not, thank heavens, he wasn't in the first wave. He was in the second wave in the afternoon.
Late
afternoon. And he had to waterproof his truck so that they'd be able to drive it off those boats and land on the beach and set up places to help repair things that needed to be repaired after the invasion of Normandy. So he said it was horrible, but it probably saved his life that he had that skill set rather than being in the first wave to hit Normandy Beach.
We're going to make another recording after this because I'm getting ready to record veterans.
Oh, okay.
You all can give me give
okay.
me this on a totally
different thing.
Different recording
for a
new acquisition
yeah,
we're
okay.
working on. Okay,
yeah, that'd
okay.
be great.
That's good.
Yeah.
So he had a skill at home. He took it into the service,
uh-huh.
and it served him all of his
life. Served him all of his life. Could
uh-huh.
work with his hands. Could fix anything.
He could do anything.
Okay, well let's move that one on over to the other the other tape. Still talking about tapes. Okay, Alta, tell me a little bit about when you were growing up in Kansas.
Okay, we moved there when I was in the eighth grade, and when I hadn't graduated, I was 16 years old, and we lived out in the country, and one time I was in there in the drugstore. It was called Redmond's Drugstore, buying a gift for my brother to give to his girlfriend. He put me in charge of that. And so while I was buying the gift, the owner's daughter came over and said, "Would you like to work in the drugstore?" And I thought, well, let me see. I'll have to go home and talk about it. And so I did, and it was decided that I could work in the drugstore, and my dad would come in and pick me up on Saturday nights. Was a big night. Everybody went to the movie, and then after that they came in for Cokes and sodas and whatnot, and I was working there.
That was kind of like walking next door, wasn't it? Or just down the street instead
yeah.
of driving
yeah.
someplace
yeah.
to get a Coke?
It was next door, yes. So then when I worked there, the lady who was head chief at Southwestern Bell in Erie, Kansas, came in and said, "Would you like to come to work on the switchboard at Southwestern Bell?" I said, "Well, another thing, let me think about it." I had to get in town to work, you know, so I did. I went to work at Southwestern Bell. And
were you out of school then?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I had moved into town. I lived in a room in one of the homes that they were renting out rooms, because it was getting too much for my dad to come in to take me to work and pick me up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yes, that would be good. And when I think back about it, I never had to go ask for a job, put my application
in. I was noticing that.
For some reason.
You're so attractive. They just walked up and said, "How about a job?"
I don't know. I must have been doing things right. So is all I could figure out. And so so I did work for Southwestern Bell, and it was the switchboard where the reason you knew that someone was calling in, a little flap on the board would fall down. You had this, what do they call them?
It was kind of a plug-in thing.
A plug-in deal.
Similar to what plugs into
yes.
a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
uh-huh.
we had our headsets on,
uh-huh.
and you'd plug in there and say, let's see, what would we say? Number, please?
Number, please.
Number, please, yes.
I remember that.
Number, please. And so they didn't always have to give their number. Put me in touch to Uncle Ben, you know.
And you knew Uncle Ben's number.
Oh, I knew everybody's number. And in the country, we also had the country. And I knew everybody. And out there, you'd ring two rings or three or what. Everybody had their different rings.
How did you do that on a party line? How did you make it ring two times or three times?
With a little deal on the thing that you just did.
Okay.
You pulled it that many times. And so it was... And then we had a town nearby that was already on dial. And we had, if they wanted St. Paul, we had to just plug into St. Paul line, and that was taken care of over there.
Okay, what year are you talking about now?
Oh, let's see, I was married in 1949. So this would have been about, worked there 5 years.
1944?
Yeah, 1945, I think.
About the time the war was over.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, anyway, I first started out as the night shift. And I would go to work at 10 o'clock at night, and I would get off at 6 in the morning. And I was going to high school.
Ooh.
So I would go home to my rented room, go to bed, go to sleep. I could sleep about 2 hours. I would get up. I had an alarm clock. I would get up, go to school. After school, it got out at 4 o'clock. I would go home to the little room. Somewhere in between there, I had food I ate. I can't just, anyway. And I would go to bed. I would sleep until 9 o'clock. I would get up and go to work by 10.
Wow. Were you working every day or 5 days a week?
It started out, I was not.
Uh-huh.
Then it wasn't long until I had a 5 days a week shift.
While you were still in school?
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
And one time during shorthand, they had a little break there. They were doing something else, and I put my head down on the desk, and I went to sleep.
That's tough in shorthand.
Yeah, and so remember when we took shorthand?
I remember shorthand.
Which we do not need anymore, thank heavens. And so anyway, the teacher kind of said, Alta, Ruth, you're not supposed to sleep. And I said, well, I take a nap whenever I can, you know, because I was working all those hours. And I continued, and I was doing a good job at school. I was doing a good job at work, but I had nothing else, you know. And I knew I had to work if I wanted to survive and live in town. And I was paying all my own bills and buying clothes besides,
yeah.
You know, and new clothes, and so.
Wow.
So. And they had the 17 magazine out for at that time. Do you remember that
yes,
magazine?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
And I was able to order from that because we didn't have that kind of store around, and I could order those things, and thank heavens they fit.
And that was a teen magazine.
It
fashion,
was a teen
yes.
magazine, mm-hmm. fashion magazine. Mm-hmm. So I was a living.
Ladies, this has been fun.
It has.
This
been.
Has been a lot of
We've
fun
enjoyed
for me.
It.
I hope you've enjoyed it. And
I had no
had
idea
wonderful stories.
That I was going to have to talk.
And you have
next
just
time I'll
wonderful.
Bring notes.
Well, we're going to stop now. And I just want to thank you again for coming. This
well,
has just been fun.
Thank you, Loretta. It's great fun.
Nice to meet you, too. So.